What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Tropp, and I'm your host, Katie Tropp. Well, week 13 had us some great matchups over the weekend. So let's get right into it, beginning with the Black Friday game. We had the Las Vegas Raiders at the Kansas City Chiefs. Ended up being a pretty crazy game all the way down to the bitter end. You know, it started out looking like the Chiefs were going to get rolling, especially in the first half. Now, they weren't running away with things, but it just looked like they were the better team on the field. Then the Raiders, their defense. The Raiders' defense has always been known to really keep Kansas City in check, and they really have been able to get Patrick Mahomes frustrated, and they really did. I mean, they had him running for his life. He was on his back. You know, it just really was not a comfortable game for Patrick Mahomes. They weren't really able to get anything going on the ground. And really nothing offensively was going right for the Kansas City Chiefs. And this game was pretty much all for the Raiders to take. And I mean, there were many points where the Raiders had their follies as well. But they were on a game-winning drive. And they were actually closing in on field goal range. Actually, I think they were in field goal range, honestly, if I seem to recall. But what ended up happening, unfortunately for the Raiders, is it was a botched snap by their center. The center just snaps the ball before anybody is even waiting for it. It bounces right off of the quarterback's chest, boom, onto the ground, and the Chiefs miraculously win and hang on again. This Chiefs team is on the biggest lucky streak, and who cares? They are now 11-1. They got the win 19-17. They keep on winning in the weirdest motherfucking ways. They have not ran away with one game. I mean, hell, even their defense. Their defense was not that great in this game, and that's what's been carrying them all season. But Aiden O'Connell, the quarterback for the Raiders, he went 23 for 35, had 340 yards and two touchdowns. So he was pretty much tearing up this Chiefs defense in the second half. Brock Bowers, their tight end, had 140 yards and a touchdown, so it was a pretty decent game for the Raiders. It's just that one stupid mistake at the very end of the game. I mean, they easily could have won this game. They did miss a couple of field goals earlier in the game as well, which could have helped them win this one. But I mean, like I said, the Chiefs are gifted yet another win. And, you know, honestly, I keep saying it about the Chiefs. I'm really not convinced with them. I think they're going to have their issues once they hit the playoffs, but at the same time, they keep getting these wins just like this, so don't be shocked if they make it all the way to the playoffs, win the Super Bowl yet again on some stupid shit like this, but that's a win's a win, and they still got the win. It was the Raiders gifting them yet another win, and in a stupid loss too, man. I mean, that botched snap really was just such a mind-blowing experience. It's like y'all could have at least kicked this field goal and potentially have won it. I mean, it would have been better had come down to a missed field goal rather than the botched snap. Because even so, the snap, like they had time to get a little bit closer or even potentially score a touchdown. But it just was not. It was just not good. It was just a crazy ending. But hey, Chiefs are 11-1. Moving on to Sunday's games, we had the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Cincinnati Bengals, and all of us who have been talking about the Steelers' offense and how they need to get it going, well, they got that shit going this weekend against the Bengals. It was a straight domination from the Steelers, 44-38. And don't even let that close score fool you, because it was pretty much all Steelers all day. The Bengals did start it off looking like they were going to get rolling, but the second quarter happened, and the Steelers went off for 20 fucking points in that quarter. It was still close at halftime, but man, the Steelers just took off. Their defense absolutely dominated on this day, but their offense really turned it on. Russell Wilson, 29 for 38, 414 yards and three touchdowns. Najee Harris, 75 yards and a touchdown. And really, the Bengals, offensively, they had a solid day. Jamar Chase, 86 yards and a touchdown. Joe Burrow, I mean, he had a few mistakes. He had some turnovers that really were terrible. But, I mean, obviously, that's not really the reason why they lost, is because this Bengals defense is really bad. And they just could not stop the Steelers offensively. And that's honestly been their problem all season long. It really hasn't been the offense. But, I mean, Joe Burrow did have those couple of turnovers that really did cost them and set the Steelers up in good field position for some scores. But overall, this Steelers team is 9-3. They are rolling. I mean, defensively, can't say enough about this defense. This defense is stout. TJ Watt, man, is in on every motherfucking play. The dude is a beast. And Mike Tomlin, he has coached 18 years in this league and has yet to have a losing season. I mean, how fucking dope is that? That's just insane. So this Steelers team, I think they're for real now. I've been kind of waffling on this team, mostly because of their offense, but they're beating good teams. They're playing great defensively, and this defense could be a problem. I mean, you get to the playoffs, and let's say the Steelers go up against the Ravens. This Steelers defense has already locked down that Ravens offense, so what's going to happen? I mean, they could get blown up as well. Not saying they won't suffer any issues. I mean, we still got some time until the playoffs, but I'm just saying, this Steelers defense is a problem, and if this offense gets rolling, and they've been going, the last couple of weeks, they get better and better. They keep it moving. You got to remember, Russell Wilson is a Super Bowl winning quarterback. He's been to two Super Bowls. He's won one, lost one. He's got playoffs on his resume. He knows how to win. So this team gets into the playoffs, you really got to watch out for them, because defensively, they are a whole problem, and offensively, starting to become a problem. Then a crazy game between the Los Angeles Chargers and the Atlanta Falcons. For a while here, it felt like nobody wanted to win this game because both teams had turnovers galore. The Chargers on offense had four turnovers, and then on the Falcons side of the ball, Kirk Cousins had four interceptions on the day, and they were bad. One was a pick six, and one was basically the difference in this game. The pick six. The Chargers ended up getting the win 17-13. They really did have their struggles offensively, but their defense, man, they just mollywopped this Atlanta Falcons offense. I mean, Kirk Cousins was running for his life. I would not be shocked if we see Michael Penix Jr. in the mix at some point. Now, I wouldn't be shocked if they stay with Cousins, because you take a look at this division that the Falcons are in. It's the Buccaneers. It's the Falcons. It's the Panthers. And it's the Saints. Not one of those teams is really good. And they're all pretty much in the mix. I think the Panthers are out of it. But, I mean, this is not a good division. So you look at it and you go, well, Kirk Cousins probably gives them the best chance to at least win the division and make the playoffs. Because you throw a rookie in, chances are he's not going to make any type of magic. And Kirk Cousins is a veteran. He's been here before. Yes, he's known to do this shit, throw four interceptions. But he probably does give them the best chance to make the playoffs. And this division is terrible. And even though they're 6-6, they are still in the mix to win this division. So you really can't overlook them. And so while a lot of people are calling for Michael Penix Jr. to take over as the quarterback, he is a rookie, and this team is still in the thick of things, even though they looked terrible yesterday. Then we had the Arizona Cardinals at the Minnesota Vikings. This was yet another crazy game. The Vikings just eked this one out 23-22. This Vikings defense took it to Kyler Murray yesterday. Murray had his moments where it was like he was going to get going on a drive and then he gets sacked. He's getting going on a drive and then he throws an interception. He's getting going on a drive, and this Minnesota Vikings defense is why they won this one. Now, don't get me wrong. Their offense played great yesterday. Sam Darnold had yet another fantastic game. It's really nice to see Darnold have these consistently good games. I don't know how I feel about the Vikings in the playoffs, but then again, the only two dominating teams in the NFC right now in playoff contention are the Lions and the Eagles. So honestly, the Vikings could make a good run here in the playoffs, but they definitely still have a shot at their division for sure. I mean, they're 10-2, and I mean, they're right there on the Lions' ass, and they still play each other here coming up towards the end of the season. So this NFC North could start to beat up on each other, and it could come down to the final week of the season to see who wins this one. But wins like this are big for the Vikings, and this defense of theirs just was demolishing Kyler Murray. I mean, he still had a solid game, but I mean, It was all Vikings defense, and this Vikings defense is just, they're stout. They're so freaking good. They get at the quarterback. They get turnovers. They're just a damn good defense, and it's going to be interesting to see how this NFC North shapes up because the Lions, the Vikings, and the Packers, oh my, they are looking damn good right now. Then we had the Indianapolis Colts at the New England Patriots, another fucking crazy-ass game. So the Patriots take the lead, 24 to, I didn't write it down, but basically they had a lead here. And the Colts, yeah, that's right. Okay, so what the Colts did is they get down the field and they score a late game-winning touchdown. Now, you either kick the field goal to tie it up 24-24, or you go for the two-point conversion and get the win. And the Indianapolis Colts went for the win. They get the two-point conversion, get the win 25-24 over their rivals, the Patriots. It doesn't matter how shitty these two teams are. You know this is a rivalry. You know this is a team that two teams that hate each other. And, I mean, it was crazy. It was back and forth. Boom, boom, boom. You didn't really know who was going to win. And then this last sequence of events in the fourth quarter, because once the Colts actually take the lead, the Patriots have a shot at actually winning this game with a field goal. Now, it was a 58-yard field goal, I believe it was, that they ended up missing. So it was a far field goal, but the Patriots were still in it to the very, very bitter end. And Drake May, very solid game, 24 for 30, 238 yards and a touchdown. But the Colts were just too much for them to overcome. But it was just boom, 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 back and forth. And the Colts are still, with that win, they're still in playoff contention. And they really needed that win. And, you know, it is crazy to look over at the AFC because it's pretty much set. It's pretty much locked in at who is going to the playoffs. So the Colts, had the Colts lost this one, it pretty much would have locked everything up right now. This last month of football would just be a waste of time, basically, for the AFC. For the most part, other than seeding. But the Colts got the win, so they stay in the thick of things. So we'll see what they got. But the Patriots lost another heartbreaker. Then we had the Seattle Seahawks at the New York Jets, and this was another crazy one. It was like, boom, Jets right out the gate. It's looking like, oh my God, the Jets are going to win this one. And then the Jets do what the Jets do. The Seahawks are able to catch up, get within range at halftime because they go off for 16 points in the second quarter. But, you know, the Jets are staving them off. You know, Leonard Williams had one of the craziest big man interceptions you will see. Now, Leonard Williams is one of the best defensive tackles in this league, man. He's a big dude. He's not a fat dude, but he's a big-ass motherfucker. That's why he plays on the defensive line, because he's a big-ass motherfucker. Well, he had an interception on Aaron Rodgers in the red zone and ran it back 92 yards for a touchdown. And he's a big motherfucker, dude. And he was sucking wind. He needed that oxygen tank once he hit that sideline, but it was crazy to see. And that pretty much kind of turned out to be the big difference here because the Jets really just crumbled in the second half. They didn't score one point in the second half. And then it was all Seahawks. They were able to rally off 10 points in the fourth quarter and get this big win, 26-21, because the NFC West is stacked and convoluted. The Seahawks getting this win puts them up at 7-5, puts them above, you know, the Cardinals got, they lost, the Niners lost, the Rams got a win, so it's still going to be a crazy month here for the NFC West, but a big win for the Seattle Seahawks. Geno Smith, 20 for 31, 206 yards and a touchdown. And just a huge win for the Seahawks and yet another heartbreaker for the Jets. I mean, this has pretty much been the Jets season in a nutshell. They get it going. Looks like they might have a decent game and then just, it just all blows up in their motherfucking face in the second half. And here they are walking off with yet another terrible loss. Then we had the Tennessee Titans at the Washington Commanders, and the Commanders really needed to win, and they really got a win. They stomped the Titans 42-19. They went right out the gate in the first quarter with 21 straight points, then had 28 points heading into halftime. Well, the Titans had a whopping 7 points, but yeah, it was just all straight-up domination. Jaden Daniels, Terry McLaurin had a huge day. McLaurin had 73 yards, 2 touchdowns. Brian Robinson, running back of the Washington Commanders, 103 yards and a touchdown. So it was a big day offensively for the Commanders, and they really needed that because these last three games have been terrible for them. They've lost them all for a reason, but this was a big win that they really needed to get against a terrible-ass Titans team. Then we had the Houston Texans at the Jacksonville Jaguars. And gotta say, man, these Texans, I keep saying it each and every week, I'm getting more and more worried about them. Now, they won the game. They pretty much dominated this game. They got the win 23-20. And Stroud, he was pretty solid in the pocket. He really wasn't pressured. And it was probably one of the best games for this offensive line in a while. Now, they did play the terrible-ass Jaguars, so that says a lot. But C.J. Stroud, solid day, 22 for 34, 242 yards, a touchdown. Joe Mixon had another fantastic day, 101 yards and a touchdown. Nico Collins had 119 yards in the air. So it was a really overall solid game from the Texans offensively. Defensively, they had their issues, and one of them being Azeez Al-Shaair, their linebacker, just took out Trevor Lawrence in a he took his elbow and slammed it right into Lawrence's face. And you knew right then and there, Lawrence was knocked the fuck out. I mean, he went limp. You know when a motherfucker's knocked out on the ground. Trevor Lawrence was knocked out. As a matter of fact, would not be shocked if we don't see Trevor Lawrence play again this season. Not just because of the concussion, but he also has been nursing a shoulder injury. And at this point, the Jaguars are 2-10. So what the fuck else do they have to play for the season? Just let Lawrence take the rest of the season off. I mean, it's probably difficult to get a competitive guy to step back, but I mean, that was a bad hit he took. Dude's probably going to get suspended for that because that's not his only altercation he's had. I mean, I actually saw kind of a compilation of some hits he's been handing out over the years, and he's kind of a dirty player. And that says a lot coming from me because I'm not really a pussy when it comes to that kind of shit. But I mean, especially when you're taking your fucking elbow and slamming it into dude's head. Now, don't get me wrong. It is difficult for defenders to kind of back off in certain instances. But this dude straight up took his elbow and smashed it right into Lawrence's face, full fucking speed. He knew exactly what he was doing. So don't be shocked if this guy's suspended for a few games. Not saying he needs to be out for the rest of the year. That's stupid. But I wouldn't be shocked if he's out for the next game or two simply because that was a nasty hit that Trevor Lawrence took in a good win for the Houston Texans. Then we had another pretty crazy game between the Los Angeles Rams and the New Orleans Saints. The Rams did get the better of the Saints in this one, 21-14. Puka Nacua, 56 yards and another touchdown. Ever since Nacua has come back from injury, he really has provided a huge source of offense for this team. You know, so has Kupp, but Nacua is starting to slowly, it feels like, take over the number one role. Nacua is extremely reliable. I feel like you throw it in this dude's vicinity, he's catching it. That's what type of dude he is. Now, Kupp, he's more of the gonna get the yards after catch type of guy. He's gonna zigzag his way. He's gonna get the jukes. He's still gonna make the big plays. I'm not trying to say Kupp has lost a step at all. I'm just saying it looks like this offense is slowly starting to turn to Nacua. Williams also had a solid day yesterday. Stafford had a solid day as well. And it was just an all-around really good game from the Rams, and they need to keep pace with the Seahawks, who are 7-5. Rams are now 6-6, and the Cardinals are right there. The Niners, I think, are done, and we'll get to their game here in a bit. Like I keep saying, this NFC West is probably going to come down to the final game of the season, depending on who it's against. I can't recall who plays who, but you look at this next month of football, it's going to be weird to see what happens in some of these divisions. Even though they're terrible, somebody has to win these divisions, and they're going to come down to the last game of the season, it looks like. Then another freaking crazy game that went into overtime between the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Carolina Panthers. Man, the Panthers, they're 3-9, but they are one of the feistiest teams you will see. They battle till the very bitter end. This team wants to win. That is for sure. It's just they don't really have the talent yet. They really haven't put it together. But this team gets a few solid pieces next year in the offseason. Look out for this Panthers team because they are bringing it each and every game. I mean, shit, they took it to the Chiefs last week, and now their rivals, the Buccaneers, they went to the bitter fucking end. It was back and forth and back and forth from quarter one to overtime. Now, it looked like the Panthers were going to walk away with this one until the Buccaneers just drove all the way down the field, kicked the field goal, tied it up, sent it into overtime. And the Panthers just were, you know, this is what's happened to them all season, where they're just about to get that win and something stupid happens. And on there, you know, the Buccaneers actually get the ball first in overtime. They miss the field goal, so the Panthers get the ball back. Panthers are driving, and it looks, and they actually are in field goal range. So they're really just kind of setting it up, and Chuba Hubbard, just fumbles the ball. It's just one of those things where, you know, the Buccaneers are great on defense, and they are one of those ball hawk type teams where that's all they see. And in this type of setting, that's what it's for. And they just are going for the ball, and boom, it just comes right out, goes right to the Buccaneers. They're able to drive down the field, get into field goal range, and kick the field goal, the game-winning field goal, 26-23 in overtime. But it was probably the craziest game of the entire day. But like I said about this, I mean, Bryce Young, yet another good game. So I kind of feel like Bryce Young is sticking around with the Panthers. You know, there were questions about it earlier in the season when they benched him, but it feels like the benching actually did what it was supposed to do, kind of change his mindset, kind of let him reset, watch, slow the game down a bit, kind of watch from the sidelines, learn a little bit from Andy Dalton, see what happens here. And now he's actually putting together some really solid drives. He's really starting to tear up two good defenses in a row. Bryce Young went 26-46, 298 yards and a touchdown. But the other guy on the other side of the field, Tampa Bay, running back Bucky Irving, I keep talking about this dude. I've been noticing it for, I want to say, since the Chiefs game, so a while back, way earlier in the season. I've been like, this Bucky Irving guy, I like what I see from him. And each and every week, this guy is boom, boom, 152 yards and a touchdown in this game. Mike Evans also had a huge game, 118 yards and a touchdown. Just another crazy one from the Bucs. They're able to keep pace with those Atlanta Falcons. They're both 6-6. Trying to win this division. The New Orleans Saints, you know, I just looked at them. Let me see where they're at. Saints are 4-8, so they're still in it, but it kind of looks like this division is going to come down to the Bucs and the Falcons, and that's what I mean about Kirk Cousins. He's probably going to keep playing just because he does technically give them the better chance to win right now and keep pace with the Bucs in this division that is probably going to come down to the final week of the season. Then we had the Philadelphia Eagles at the Baltimore Ravens, and this did end up being the game of the day. I mean, it was a battle between two teams. There was a point in time where it was stuck at 14-13 for the longest motherfucking time. It felt like neither offense was going to score. I mean, right out the gate, the Ravens actually started off looking really solid offensively. Looked like they were going to tear shit up. Lamar Jackson threw this beautiful touchdown pass to Andrews. It was so just boom, on the money. It was looking like they were just going to run away with this shit. And then it was just a defensive battle all the way till the fourth quarter until Saquon Barkley, the motherfucking MVP. If Barkley does not win the MVP, I'm going to be pissed off. And that says a lot because I hate the Eagles. If you think I want to give compliments to the Eagles, you are fucking wrong. But when real recognize real, and when the truth is there, I cannot deny the truth. And truthfully, Saquon Barkley is the MVP. Don't get me wrong, Lamar Jackson having a fantastic year, Josh Allen having a fantastic year, but to me, Saquon Barkley is the MVP. He is why the Eagles are 10-2. He has had a big fucking play in every single game this season. He is a game changer. He's a game breaker. He breaks off for freaking 70 yards like it ain't no motherfucking thing. Saquon Barkley, the Dallas Cowboys fan Katie Tropp right here is saying it. Saquon Barkley better be the MVP at the end of the season. I don't give a shit if this has turned into a quarterback award. Barkley for MVP. Katie Tropp approves that message. He had 107 yards in this game with a touchdown, but that's what the game changer was. He gets this touchdown, boom, changes the entire trajectory of this game, and the Eagles defense is just able to lock it down. I mean, they held Lamar Jackson in check. If you are a team that's coming up against the Ravens, watch the tape of the Philadelphia Eagles defense and the Pittsburgh Steelers defense who played them a couple weeks ago, and that is what you need to do with Lamar Jackson. You need it's hard to keep dude locked in check, but these two defenses have done it, and if you're just able to fuck him up on just a couple of plays, you should walk away with this win. They also held Derrick Henry in check, which says a lot as well. This Eagles defense is for real. Their offense really got it going. And I will say it again. Saquon Barkley is the MVP of this league. And I'm going to be pissed off if he does not actually win the MVP, because that is how dominant this dude has been this year. And then ending the day with Sunday Night Football, we had the San Francisco 49ers at the Buffalo Bills. Now, it was one of those crazy snow games where there were just feet of snow piling it up on this field. It was snow from start to finish. You could tell these guys could not get footing offensively, defensively, but the Bills made this shit look easy last night. I mean, the Niners, they had turnovers galore. There were interceptions. There were fumbles. There were fumbles on the kick returns. It was one of the worst games probably ever for the 49ers, and probably the last 4-5. Hell, that was probably the worst game in the Kyle Shanahan era. That's just how I'll put it. It was terrible. And it wasn't just because of the weather. They just played a bad game. And then the top shit off, Christian McCaffrey injured himself again. He has been put on the injured reserve as of today, and his season is over. To keep it real with y'all, I feel like they made a mistake by playing him yesterday just because of the conditions. Because nobody could get footing yesterday, so I kind of felt like he was going to get injured simply because of just the conditions, and he was going to have to run in a different way, and he's already coming off of injuries. But unfortunately, McCaffrey is done for the rest of the year. Now, Josh Allen had a fantastic game, 13 for 17, 148 yards and 2 touchdowns. He had one crazy touchdown where he throws the ball to Amari Cooper, who then laterals it back to Josh Allen, who then runs it in for a touchdown. So technically, Josh Allen threw himself a touchdown pass. That's how that statistic actually comes out. But really, the big game changer, I believe, for this Bills team is Cook at the running back position. He had 107 yards and a touchdown. And I mean, he's been really huge for this offense. And I really look at this Bills team as absolutely a championship contender that everybody needs to watch out for. And the San Francisco 49ers, to me, I have felt they are a terrible team for many reasons. Everybody wants to blame it on the injuries. Yeah, well, guess what? The Ravens have injuries. They're still playing well. Yeah, guess what? The Kansas City Chiefs have only lost one game. They're battling through a bunch of injuries. Every team in the league is battling through injuries, but they all like to act like only the 49ers have lost all these guys to injury. Nah. Every team has. And last night was not due to injury. As a matter of fact, the last two games were not due to injury. The Niners are just not a good team. They don't look like they used to. They don't play with that same physicality where they would just intimidate the fuck out of you and completely demolish you at the offensive line position, at the defensive line position. They are just not that team that they once have been over the last couple of seasons. And in my opinion, I think the Niners are done. Yes, they still have a shot at the playoffs because of their terrible ass division, but I think the Seahawks are better than them and more consistent. I think the Rams are better than them and more consistent. And I think the Cardinals are better than them and more consistent. I think the Niners are kaput. They are done. It does not matter about the injuries. They are just not a good team overall. And these last two games have shown that. Make up all the excuses you want for them, but there's my shitty-ass Cowboys have had a bunch of injuries, too. Guess what? They've actually won these last two games. Not against very good teams. Well, the Commanders are a good team, but I'm just saying. Lots of teams have to deal with fucking injuries and are still overcoming it or still playing like shit, just like the Niners. Now moving on to tonight's Monday Night Football game, we have the Cleveland Browns at the Denver Broncos. Right now, the Broncos are a 5.5-point favorite. To me, the Browns are just not a very good team. Yes, they are coming off of a big win over their division rival Pittsburgh Steelers, but they're just not a good team. Defensively, not terrible, but it's the offense where all the issues lie. Denver, on the other hand, defensively, boom, they are one of the best in the league. And offensively, they're just getting better each and every week. I still have a lot of questions about them, but, you know, they are a very well-coached team. They are a young team, which is their deal. But, I mean, they're a pretty good team. And I actually believe that this Broncos team is going to make the playoffs. And I think they're actually going to beat some decent teams along the way. Well, they still have a month of football left, but they're starting to look like a legit squad who could potentially, you know, make the playoffs and maybe in like the wild card round fuck up somebody's day. Who knows? That's kind of what I feel from this team. I don't look at them as a championship level team just yet, but they are most certainly on the right path, especially with Bo Nix. He's really buttoned things up these last couple of games. He's really starting to focus on the touchdowns for the most part and kind of take the little craziness out of him, you know, where he would just kind of toss shit up and then there's an interception. He's really kind of buttoned his gameplay up so far. I do have the Broncos winning this one 23-13. I just think they're the better overall team. And Simon also has the Broncos winning this one 27-13. Turning to the NBA and my top 10 NBA power rankings this week, not a lot of changes. We do have a couple of teams at the bottom. We do have a few more Eastern Conference teams making their way through this. It's been very Western Conference heavy for the most part this season, but there's a couple Eastern Conference teams that are now making appearances. So let's get right into it. We do have us a new number one. Well, not new number one, but a different number one this week, and that is the Boston Celtics have retaken the number one position. They're 16-4 on the season, 8-2 in their last 10 games. And even though they did lose to the Cavaliers last night, they did earlier in the week beat the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Los Angeles Clippers, and the Chicago Bulls. They're just the best team in the NBA. I mean, they are the defending champs. They got Porzingis back, who looks damn good. Tatum averaging 29 points per game, 9 rebounds per game, 6 assists per game. Brown is having a solid year. Derek White, he's making some big plays. So this is just, you know, typical Boston Celtics. And I knew they were going to take that number one position back from the Cavaliers. It was only a matter of time. And I probably should have given it back to them last week. But I still have a lot of respect for the Cavaliers, as you could tell, because let's get to number two on my top 10 NBA power rankings. Cleveland Cavaliers did not fall that far. They are 18-3 on the season, 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they beat the Toronto Raptors, but did lose to the Atlanta Hawks twice and then beat the Boston Celtics yesterday. Donovan Mitchell, man, this guy is having a phenomenal year. He was why they beat the Celtics. As a matter of fact, he just took over that game. But Allen and Garland, they're really just adding a lot to this team. And the Celtics and the Cavaliers so far are running away with the Eastern Conference, but it's very early in basketball right now. But the Cavaliers, I think they're a legit squad. You know, when you start off the season 15-0, that usually means you're a damn good team. Especially if you just look at the history of the sport, anybody who usually starts off the season 11-0 or better, they usually go on to make the playoffs. This Cavaliers team, they actually look legit. They actually look better on the defensive side of the ball as well, too, this year. Then at number three on my top 10 NBA power rankings, Oklahoma City Thunder. Overall record of 15-5. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got the win over the Sacramento Kings, the Golden State Warriors, Los Angeles Lakers, and then lost to the Houston Rockets. But SGA, he is averaging 30 points per game, and he is not letting this Chet Holmgren injury be a problem. He is just delivering this ball. He is taking over this team, and they just look damn good, and it really is all because of him. I mean, he is just, when they played the Lakers, he was just cutting them up. It was crazy, and the Lakers are a damn good defensive team. Anthony Davis is just out of his mind with the defense, but he just boom, boom, boom. SGA had no issues with this Lakers squad, and he's been having no issues so far this season. And his team has had to battle through the injuries, and it's been no problem for him. Then at number four in my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Golden State Warriors, overall record of 12-7. They are 5-5 in their last game, so they're starting to fall off. As a matter of fact, they are on a 3-game losing streak this week. They lost to the Brooklyn Nets, the Oklahoma City Thunder, and the Phoenix Suns, so just not a good week for them overall. But hey, that is going to happen. I still think the Warriors are a good team. Now, I had my questions about them to start the season, but I mean, right now, Curry, he has not lost a step. And Draymond playing well is also, and they're also talking about that there's probably going to be Wiggins also having another phenomenal year, but it's looking like they're probably going to make a trade at some point, and I kind of feel like that's going to bolster them and make them an even better team. But the Golden State Warriors, their championship pedigree always keeps them in it, and they're 12-7 and looking pretty damn good, so you can't overlook what they're doing, especially with the way Curry's been playing. Then at number five on my top 10 NBA power rankings, a team I look at and I'm just like, damn, they are good. And that is the Memphis Grizzlies. Overall record of 14-7, 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they're on a four-game winning streak. They beat the Portland Trail Blazers, the Detroit Pistons, the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Indiana Pacers. Ja Morant is back, and even before Ja got back, they weren't really having many issues. And now that he's back, he has taken over this game, and they look really good. They are actually tied in for first place, averaging 122 points per game, so they are scoring everybody out of the building. But they play well on defense and are great in the paint. So this Memphis Grizzlies team has been exceptionally impressive to me to start the season. Then at number six on my top 10 NBA power rankings, another team that started out great, the Houston Rockets. Overall record of 15-6, 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got the wins over the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Philadelphia 76ers, and the Oklahoma City Thunder. Right now, they are, as a matter of fact, they've been first in the league, averaging 50 rebounds per game, and they've pretty much been dominating that all season. So basically, the first month and a half of the season has been the Houston Rockets just dominating in the paint. And I feel like that's a huge reason why they're winning. I mean, I still can't really figure out why they're winning. They're just really putting it together. It's a really fast team. I feel like they're just a team that nobody can really figure out just yet. And maybe they'll figure them out the second half of the season. Who knows? But right now, the Houston Rockets are really mowing through everybody. And they're actually dominating a really good division that has some really good teams in it, and including the Dallas Mavericks and the Memphis Grizzlies, and they're right in the thick of things, and they've actually been the top team in their division the last couple of weeks. Then fallen a few spots in my top 10 NBA power rankings this week. At number seven, I have the Los Angeles Lakers. Overall record of 12-8. They're 6-4 in their last 10 games. They've been very up and down, especially in my opinion. This last week, you'll see they lost to the Phoenix Suns, then beat the San Antonio Spurs, and lost to the Oklahoma City Thunder, and beat the Utah Jazz. So they're beating the teams that they should beat, but losing to the good teams. And, LeBron's had a couple of games where you're like, what's going on here? You know, I was talking about the game against the Spurs. Even though they got the win, Wemby was kind of sunning LeBron, and that says a lot. And I'm not saying LeBron's terrible. No, he's still playing at a high level. It's just there's been a couple of these last games where I'm like, what's going on with LeBron? Because he ain't playing like he normally does. AD, on the other hand, is having a monster season, averaging 29 points per game, 12 rebounds per game, and 3 assists per game, and he's really just been dominating on the defensive end. Connect, huge. Reeves has been really knocking down the threes as well. The Lakers are another team, just like the Warriors, trying to look to add another name in there for improvement. It looks like the Lakers are looking for a center, which is what I think they really need, just to kind of help out on the defensive side of the thing of the ball. They're good with the 3-point shooting, especially with Connect out there, but they've just been too streaky. They really need to get it. They really need to find some consistency, which I think has been their problem, which I think is what sets them apart from a few of these other teams that I mentioned in the Western Conference above them, because they haven't been as consistent as them. They've just been up and down, and really haven't been winning as they started off the season. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NBA power rankings of the Orlando Magic, overall record of 15-7. They are 9-1 in their last 10 games, and this team just keeps on rolling. This past week, they got 2 wins over the Brooklyn Nets, the Charlotte Hornets, and the Chicago Bulls. So they just are rolling, even without Banchero. And he was on fire. He still is the leading scorer on this team and hasn't played in, what, like 2, 3, maybe even a month now. So he leads their team. But they're just playing excellent team ball. Now, if you'll remember, they had a good, solid year last year. It's just I don't think they were ready to take that next step. Now they're really gelling. And both the Wagner brothers, Franz and Mo, they are just really keeping this team together. And once they get Banchero back, I really look at this Orlando Magic team as being a potential killer if they keep it up, especially making possible playoff run here, because they're actually really putting together. I kind of look at the Orlando Magic and the Houston Rockets as very similar teams. The Rockets, I look at them more as last year's Orlando Magic team, where they're like, is this team for real? Is this team for real? And now the Magic, they kind of look like they're for real, and they've really kept this consistency so far. And we'll see where we're at as the season wears on. But I don't know. This Orlando Magic team looks pretty for real. And their division nobody's really looking good. And I thought the Miami Heat were going to take this one over, and the Miami Heat, they are playing probably the most inconsistent basketball right now. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NBA power rankings is the New York Knicks. Overall record of 12-8. They are 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they got the win over the Denver Nuggets, lost to the Dallas Mavericks, and then beat the Charlotte Hornets and the New Orleans Pelicans. Jalen Brunson and Karl Anthony Towns are actually starting to look like a really solid duo here. OG Anunoby, he's had his moments as well. Defensively, this team is looking good. Like I said, Cat has actually had his moments. He's made some big plays in over the last couple of weeks to really get going. You know, the Knicks were struggling to start the season. They weren't doing what I expected them to do, because I actually expect this team to be pretty good, especially because the Eastern Conference, not that good. Beyond the Celtics and the Cavaliers, anything is up for grabs at this point with the Eastern Conference. And the Knicks, I felt like we're going to be a much more consistent team, but now it feels like Cat has worked his way into this team. Like I said, OG, he's starting to really get going. Brunson, he's never had any issues. So look out for this Knicks team to potentially be maybe that other team to start coming up behind the Celtics and the Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference. And then rounding out the top 10 NBA power rankings, a team that has looked like shit, but now is probably the hottest team in the league, and that is the Milwaukee Bucks. 10-9 on the season. 8-2 in their last 10 games. You know, they started off the season looking rough. But now, Giannis, he's been their dude. But now, him and Lillard actually starting to get it moving. They beat Miami and the Washington Wizards this week. Giannis averaging 33 points per game, 12 rebounds per game, and 7 assists per game. He went off. Over these last couple of weeks, he's really just been a monster. You could tell he's pissed off. He's playing pissed off, and that's what he needs to keep on doing, because this team is playing so much better now that he is pissed off. He's just doing it at all ends, but so is Damian Lillard. He has really started to get it going as well. He's averaging 26 points per game and 8 assists per game as well, so he's starting to fit in, and it's now starting to look like this Bucks team is actually going to be a threat. Now, they have to stay consistent at it for me to actually start raising them in the ranks. But now we're on notice, and like I keep saying, Giannis, he keeps playing like this. He's a monster. The rest of the Eastern Conference better be ready if he keeps playing at this level, and if he and Dame keep meshing the way they are, because both Dame and Giannis have been the game changers in a few games over the past 2 weeks of this winning streak that they're on right now. They've been the game changers for the most part. So the fact that they're now taking over the games, and it's like Giannis one game, Lillard the next, that's probably going to be an issue, because these are two superstar players we're talking about, and they keep it up, and they've got a good coach in Doc Rivers as well, who's got the championship pedigree. So I kind of look at it and I go, if this team keeps it up consistently, then the Bucks are going to be an issue in the Eastern Conference. All right, y'all, enjoy the rest of the week of sports, and I will talk to you fools on Wednesday.